Welcome to 247 Real Talk. I'm your host, Julian Perry, and it's a pleasure to be here with you for another episode of the 247 Real Talk podcast. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, at about 8:18 p.m. And as I look at my security cameras, I see hail. I see drenched in rains that have been with us now in New York City for, I want to say, since yesterday, maybe, I don't know, yesterday afternoon. And it looks like it's going to go all the way through to tomorrow, Thursday. We've had drenching rains. We've had moments of hail. So I hope that wherever you are, you're safe and sound. And hopefully you're enjoying better weather than we do. And we're hoping here that this is the last of the rains for a while. I mean, not that we don't want to have water, right? But it's time for some spring. It's time to get some warmer temperatures. It's time to get outdoors and start preparing our yards for some summer fun and for enjoying the warm weather. So I hope wherever you are, if you're in a warm place all the time, like Florida or South America or the Caribbean, that you're enjoying your weather. I know some places in South America and in the Caribbean, like Trinidad, it's extremely excruciatingly hot. But I guess at this point, we've been through winter and we won't mind some of that heat. Hopefully you're doing well otherwise. And this week I switched topics again from what I originally planned and what I probably indicated last week. And I'm going to talk a little bit about embracing diversity. It came to mind and it sort of felt that I needed to bring it to the forefront because of things I'm seeing going around us and in our environment, in workplaces and in our communities. And it seems that the more we progress, supposedly with technology and we suppose as human beings, the more we fail to embrace diversity. So sit back, relax, and I'll be right back with our topic for this week. So I'm back with the episode for this week again, embracing diversity. And I want to start off telling you what triggered my thoughts. You know, I've done episodes on migrants. I've done episodes on systemic racism. I've done episodes on politics and how it's impacted us as people. And the division it's caused among us as citizens of America and as of inhabitants of this planet. And when I think about my immediate environment, when I think about the United States of America, and as you know, as I looked around and quietly observed, I thought I'd share some of these thoughts with you. So hopefully you can. I'm tongue-tied this episode. Hopefully you can begin to recognize and acknowledge and make differences within your own environment so that when we look at each other, we look at our society, we see progress with embracing diversity. So as I look around at different places I've gone to, different businesses, different workplaces, even my own, I've recognized that some businesses have made more progress than others in terms of embracing diversity, but we still live in a time in 2024, especially after going through a pandemic, especially after going through COVID and watching a true impact of something that took lives, irrespective of race, creed, or color. And we watched the human response to people in need of help and medical care. And even that response was lopsided and sort of gave very little attention to neighborhoods that were predominantly mixed and people of color, irrespective that those neighborhoods represented the highest death tolls. So as I looked at workplaces, I realized, like I said, it's a strange recognition if you look carefully. You look at some workplaces that represent people making minimum wage, and places that provide public services, or services that the public use. I say that in that way because I'm not talking about even free services. I'm talking about even private businesses. And you will notice that the majority of the actual help, the lowest paid people who are actually doing the work dealing with the public, are people of color. You'll notice that the higher level positions, supervisory, managerial, in many cases, you see that change from diversity, because even the entry level staff, there's a mixture there, albeit in many cases, a mixture of people of color. If you want to call that one, then there is no diversity, right? But I look at it from every sense of the word and looking at the fact that you'll see people of Hispanic descent and African Americans and other cultures that are people of culture, other races that are people of color. And you see that they dominate the lower end. Many of these people, if you engage them in conversation, will tell you that they're in school, they're in college, hoping and aspiring to get to a place where they will be part of a more diverse workplace, where their skills and their efforts and their accomplishments will be recognized as they move up the, or hopefully move up the chain. And one of the things that's significant about speaking with people who are entry-level workers, it was remarkable to hear how many people have no faith in college anymore, in a college education. And what seemed to be the dominant deterrence was student loans. People and young people today, especially people of color that we want to encourage to educate themselves, to make themselves part of a culture that will recognize them and strive to possibly treat them equally. And I say possibly because we're still fighting a battle that you'll see as I go along. You know, when they have to look at the cost of education and recognize that it is a dominant factor that is stopping them from living not only the American dream, but their dream. I don't know if I could find it on my phone. I'm going to turn away from the screen for a second, from the camera, to look on my phone, because I now recall someone, one of my very dear friends and supporters of this podcast, who will have on my show. I plan to have him on for a very entertaining, very detailed, and probably very explosive episode for my 200th episode coming up in about 4 episodes. So coming up in about 4 weeks. But he sent me something, and let me see if I can find it here quickly. And the headline read, and I want to get this right. It was something to the extent of what education, maybe it was not in my WhatsApp, maybe it was on, it might have been on Instagram, which would be harder to find, but there was some school or something like that where it said that a year of education would cost $95,000, right? And, you know, work with me here 1 second, because I would really like to find the article for you. You could never find something when you really want it, and I'm really sorry I can't. Oh, wait a minute. Here, I think this is it. Here we go. Some colleges now cost up to $95,000 per year. I think this was on ABC New York. Many of the more than 2 million graduating high school students from across the United States are facing jaw-dropping costs in the next step of their education. And basically, they're saying that colleges, some colleges are charging up to $95,000 a year. So understand how the diversity plays a ripple effect role from the workplace, from schools, from communities. It's embedded in these environments, and it's something that's critical to our future and our children's futures. Now, when I said I was going to talk about embracing diversity, people just, I can imagine people who are listening to this episode will kind of be wondering, where am I going with this? But that article, you know, along with other things that happened, really, really struck a note with me. Imagine a four-year college. Four-year college, we'd be talking at $95,000 a year, we'd be talking, what, $380,000 in student loans. Now, you have the right, if you, let's say you're doing SATs or whatever you are, you're doing to enter college, but let's say you get in. Let's say I get in. Let's say six people of different races get in. When they graduate, let's say they follow the same path and they all come out with $380,000 in student loans. Now remember, no matter what you do, even if you get federal student loans, and this is one thing I've pushed for and it seems to be falling on deaf ears, even though I have to admit the Biden administration has done a lot to help students with their education and their education costs. And despite the efforts of, and I have to, again, this is not being, this is me being real talk. It so turns out that the efforts of Republican people with money have pushed back against the Biden school student loan debt forgiveness program when he first announced it, just to take $10,000 or $20,000 away from, imagine, $400,000 in student loans. And those same people got millions of dollars in PPP loans forgiven. I always have to say that because it's the truth. But understand that you graduate with $400,000 in student loans, and federal student loans pay back, they're not zero interest. So if you are in a job at $400,000 in student loans, there's a number of things that have to fall into place for you to become considered treated equitable in this society and considered to be recipient of a culture that embraces you. You go, you work hard in school, you graduate with a very high GPA. And I've seen the results in GPAs, and those results are diverse. There are a lot of people of color, of different races, who excel in college. Now you're out into the workforce. You're going to look for a job that will allow you to live. And let's pause for a second and talk about what living means, because this is all part of embracing diversity. Living means that you are able to live in a decent neighborhood, afford to pay medical bills, transportation, afford to eat decently, afford to have some sort of social life, and still have something to put aside in the bank for a savings, right? To one day buy a home, to do whatever, to travel, to whatever your heart's desire, and to fulfill your rights as a human being on this earth. So what happens when you go out into the workplace that lacks diversity in 2024, where the top positions are still decided by the color of your skin and not the content of your character, your achievements, and your academic content that adds to the value of that business and society? There's a lot of this going around where the world and this country and workplaces fail to embrace diversity. And this works in so many ways, right? It works because one level of prejudice tends to create another level of prejudice. So if I go to a business to get a job, and they're predominantly white people, let's say this as it is, who are in that job, in all the top positions. And I go to work there, and I'm doing a lot of work, and I'm working hard, and I'm excellent, and no one has any complaints about my performance, yet I can't seem to move up. Yet whenever there's a new opportunity, it's not offered to me, even though I apply for it. Let's say that I manage to be an entrepreneur, and I manage to form or create a business that is a multi-million dollar business, and I have employees. The reverse to what society has become accustomed to is now, as a person of color, I say, I want to help my people of color. So I look in society, and in many cases, this isn't happening in all cases, but this I've seen this happen, where I target talent, and part of targeting that talent is targeting people of color with that talent, with the discipline to make sure that my business is successful. Now, I view that, and I'm saying I, the person who has the business, who has this multi-million dollar business, I view that, or let's just say successful business, I view that as helping my own, because my own are not being helped in other work environments, because those work environments lack diversity. But ultimately, I end up, in my efforts to do something as I see as good, I end up adding to the lack of diversity now, because all of a sudden when you look at my business from the outside, it lacks diversity. It is my employee. You know, we have this saying a lot of times where people will say, black-owned business, white-owned business, Hispanic-owned business. And when you go to these businesses, and I've been to them, I've been to restaurants where I've had the most amazing treatment, and they're called black-owned businesses, and everyone in the business that works there is black. And we look at that and we feel, well, someone is helping out those of us who can't get work elsewhere, even though we strive for excellence, because diversity doesn't exist in a lot of other environments. But think about what the result is. The result of that is a lack of diversity. I don't know what it will take for us as human beings in the community of life to get to the point where, again, we are blind to color. We are blind to ethnicity. We're looking for success in whatever effort we're making, whatever business we have, and we're willing to hire anyone who fits that role, irrespective of their race, creed, or color. I know that sounds familiar to you because it sounds, and it's from I Have a Dream, Martin Luther King, right? That one day, remember his speech. And the fact of the matter is that in 2024, we still fail. After all the examples we've seen of people of color rising, owning businesses, lifting themselves up, being critical and integral parts of big corporations, even though we've seen people rise to levels of government, rise to levels of the Supreme Court, we still look like little drops of black pepper in a big pot of salt. What is the fear that we present? I've heard people say that people of color present a fear to others because not only do we represent the majority in terms of numbers, but those of us who strive for excellence threaten to step in and take over. Why does it have to be a threat? You know, this thing that we call racism, this thing that I see around me every single day, is such an epidemic that it is, in 2024, threatening to do what it did 400 years ago. Destroy us as a race, as human beings. Because even this day and age, we have to deal with it. I have dealt with it. I have heard some of the most egregious things said about me and to me. Even with this podcast, I receive emails, I receive messages, and you see me, you hear me say to you, I will block people. And I'm sometimes recipients of some vile comments. And when you really think of the context of what they're saying, it's pure ignorance. And in this effort to embrace diversity, I also am a realist. And I understand that as we talk about the struggle of getting a good education and then having to pay student loans, we also have to mention the struggle of dealing with so many uneducated people who continue their ignorance generation after generation, continually teaching their children about segregation as a form of life, continue teaching their children that people of color are less than, continue teaching their children that people are white people or Caucasian people are the enemy. And this just keeps going generation after generation. Most recently, I witnessed racism in a little child, about 7 or 8 years old. And when I got to the bottom of it, the outcome was that child was taught that at home. Even at 7 and 8 years old with racism built in, they're still an innocent child to the sense that they were able to say, well, mommy and daddy told me that we're different, that we're better than black people, than people of color. We look at schools today, and we look at how money is distributed to schools and how teachers are assigned or teachers are hired. And when we look across the scale and we look at which schools represent the top 10% and which schools get the best teachers, look at the neighborhoods they're in and look at the children who attend. And then because there's a lack of embracing diversity, take a look at real estate. Take a look at what houses cost in different neighborhoods just because of who lives in those neighborhoods. I was lucky enough to buy in a very good neighborhood when I bought my house. And I say lucky because part of my luck was I bought in the middle of COVID pandemic, when interest rates had bottomed out, and because of everything that happened, the market was susceptible to accepting people of all races, creeds, and colors into neighborhoods that they would normally be priced out of. And I say that because, and I say it with confidence, because as of today, my home from 2020 to 2024 has increased in value, market value now over $200,000, higher than what I paid for it. Meaning that now we've sort of put COVID in the back burner and we're going back to normalcy, normalcy being segregation in its real sense. I would be priced out of my own home where I live right now. I'm here because of the luck of the draw, not because I have a decent job, not because I've worked hard to be a decent person, not because I am honest, ethical, and hardworking. No. When are we going to get to the point that we are embracing cultures? It's amazing to see certain restaurants that exist in neighborhoods that are not diverse. Certain, what do you want to call ethnic, right? So, where people of color bring their culture into neighborhoods that don't accept them otherwise, meaning they go to the neighborhood, they have their business, and when their business is closed at night, they leave and drive miles away to the neighborhood that they can afford to live in. But yet, people who don't embrace them as people of color and their diversity love their food. So the things that they want to embrace from diversity are things that they want to pick and choose. They want to accept things that are results of a culture, but not the people who are from that culture. It is amazing if you get to travel a bit, and if you get to, if just around New York alone, around the country, yes, but even around New York, and go to different neighborhoods where you drive from one place to the next. And this is where you see also the stark difference, right? The Democrats' political ideology is one ideology. The Republican ideology is another ideology. They're supposed to be ideologies. But you can drive in New York City and you can actually drive from one ideology to the other. And you can see and witness the stark difference and the lack of diversity. It's like, where is that? Somewhere in Africa, off the coast of Africa, where there the two oceans meet and you can see the distinct line in the ocean between the dark water and the blue water, or the blue-green water. That's kind of what it is even here in New York. When you look at voting, you can tell where certain parts of New York are going to vote Republican and certain parts are going to vote Democrat. For the majority. We're not mixed in. We're not accepting of each other as human beings. We continue to live a life where we subconsciously, I guess, and sometimes not, oppose and work against the very thing that we claim verbally we're trying to achieve. Many people talk about diversity, but if you take a good look at what they're doing, it's not embracing diversity. We see this in the politics of America, where we have politicians who outwardly at news conferences, at press conferences, talk about things like systemic racism and the need for diversity and the need to allow people who are going to school and education to get an education, to be able to go out and to get a good job and to buy a home in a neighborhood of their choosing. And a neighborhood of their choosing should be because I want to live in this neighborhood because I like the environment, I like the air, I like the trees, I like the parks, I like the waterways, the lakes, whatever, as what it is as a part of this planet Earth. Not, I've done the best, I've become the best, I'm as educated as the best, and yet I cannot and will not be offered a job to even showcase my excellence, and I will be priced out of a neighborhood because my kind, meaning my color of my skin, my ethnicity, is not accepted in those neighborhoods. No one wants to see me there. Everyone wants to go out their doors, and when they walk out in the street and they go to the bus and they go to the train and they go to the stores, they must see people just like them. There are a lot of people who watch my show. I've seen that based on the downloads, based on the geographic areas. What do you mean that? I've seen it based on people on LinkedIn and all the platforms who embrace the show. And what I love about 247 Real Talk Podcast is the diversity of my listeners. And it's growing. In the last 2-3 months, I think I've gained 600 or 700 subscribers. And that may be small compared to the celebrities and the sports celebrities who just get millions of people who automatically become their subscribers because of who they are. My growth is smaller and slower, but it's diverse because of the content of our conversations. And I'm appreciative of that. This conversation has a major place in our lives and how our children grow. Have you ever walked into a store or a business where it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, white or person of color, and walked into that neighborhood that's not diverse and raised your head up and realized that you're the only person in there that looks like you? How does that make you feel? You went there knowing, oh, I can get this thing there. I can buy this thing or I can get this service I wanted. And for a moment, especially if you're not a person who dwells on diversity, who dwells on the presence of segregation that is very blatant in our society still. And then you get there, like I said, and you look around your surroundings and you realize it dawns on you in the most stark way. I better hurry up because I'm somewhere that the environment says I don't belong. This has to change for many reasons. I've been doing episodes every month or so about the race to 2024 elections. And I've been saying that irrespective of what happens in the race, the day after the elections, our struggle for most of us will be the same. Whatever we decide as a people, we have to make sure that our life progresses in a manner that supports embracing diversity. We cannot live in a society where we continue to hate each other, where we continue to hate embracing diversity, where our actions actually support segregation, something that so many have died for and fought for change. Today, when you listen to this episode, it will stand on its own because it should make you reflect on all that you see around you. But as we speak more and we expand on what this means, as you recognize that this is a sort of preamble to my 200th episode where, again, it will be deep. Make sure that you listen to my 200th episode. It will be representative of everything that I've talked about in a nutshell with the guest I'm going to have. It also will be, just happen to mark my return to live guests, on the show, video guests. And it should help us as we continue to strive in our lives to bring decency and value to our lives. You know, before I go, I got to mention Generation Z because they, in so many ways, they lack history and knowledge of their past. And yet, while we look at them and see that they really lack knowledge of their past, that innocence of the lack of knowledge has turned them into a generation that is embracing diversity more than any of us who should be the ones imparting the knowledge and sharing our history with them. Generation Z is responsible recently for more interracial relationships and marriages and businesses and communities than those of us who are supposed to be knowledgeable and intelligent have managed to embrace. And I have to say this. There was a time when I used to look at people who did less to support embracing diversity and more to stand out as an ethnicity as being racist. But I have to acknowledge the fact that many people who stand for their race and acknowledge their race and put forward arguments of the supremacy of their race. And I'm talking about people of color too. I see it a lot in the neighborhoods and in the environments of people of color because they are tired of fighting for acceptance. They are tired of fighting this nation, this world that has been a racist environment for so many hundreds of years. They are tired of fighting to be accepted. So they have changed to supporting and doing everything they can to uplift their race And in that effort, because they've been forced to do that significantly for their race, it has led to the unintended effect of working against embracing diversity. I don't know if that makes sense to you in the way I've explained it, but hopefully it does. So the next time we talk, we'll get closer to the 200th episode. There's so much to talk about. Like I said, I chose this tonight because I'm setting the stage for what's to come in the 200th episode. If you don't understand why I did it yet, I encourage you to keep listening and especially look forward to that 200th episode. I thank you, as always, for being able to have this conversation with you. Some weeks, the conversations are more in-depth and less jovial than others. But this is real talk. This is what I strive to do. Some conversations are more interesting to some of you than others. Some of you who are impacted by directly impacted by the circumstances that I speak about would find more interest, while others won't. But if you're a member of this society, if you're a human being in this world, then everything I say on this podcast is reason for thought for you, for how you live your lives each day, and for what we're teaching the next generation. Thanks again for allowing me to be a part of your day whenever you listen to me, and to be a part of your lives. I want to give a special thank you to all those new subscribers. For those of you who are looking to find out all the interesting topics that we've discussed and why you should stay as a subscriber, go look at the past 195 episodes. You'll find about 70 or so on YouTube, and before that, you'll have to listen to the audio episodes, but it's the same thing without the face. I encourage you to please comment, share your thoughts, share the episodes, and please share the podcast and subscribe. Subscribing is so important to me building this platform, and not only increasing the size of the audience to be able to deal with these issues and build a movement on these issues, but my ultimate goal is to go from where I am now to the place where I'm also financially receiving from social media so that I can use that for charity to embrace financially some of those situations and people I speak about and help them to achieve the dreams or to get over a hurdle and create a movement that will do the same for us all. It is a big challenge and a big task. And all I can promise to do is to give it my best shot. Please send me your messages as you've continued to do. Email me at podcast@247realtalk.net. Give me feedback on you can do it on YouTube. You can do it in the audio, the text of the audio episodes. You can send me an email. Keep it respectful, keep it engaging. I will respond even if it takes some time because I get a lot of emails at times. And I will also, remove people and block people who work against the decency and who speak in a manner or converse in a manner that is not in keeping with the decency and respect of the show. Thanks again. Have a great week, a great weekend. I'm going on a little excursion this weekend coming up. And I hope to tell you about it on my next episode before I start the actual topic. Until then, be well, stay safe, take care of yourselves. Please take care of each other.